Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Kedushin, Daf Samach Dalet. We are up to the Mishnah, which is two lines off the top of the Amud, and continuing yesterday's sugya regarding a father's ne'emanus, his trustworthiness, when he claims that he was mekadesh his young daughter, a daughter who is a ketana, who is within his jurisdiction to be mekadesh. So today we're going to learn the parameters and limitations of that ne'emanus. Says the Mishnah, Kedash Di Esbiti. A father gets up and claims that he was mekadesh his daughter to a man. Or he says, further, Kidashtiyah v'gerashtiyah. Kesheyiktana, I was mekadesher and I was involved in her divorce as well. Rashi says, Kibalti eskita. As we know, a father can be mekabel, a get for his young daughter as well. And what's her status today? Vareyiktana, she's still iktana at this time of declaration. In both cases, whether he's only claiming Kiddushin or Kiddushin and Gerushin, which actually will now affect her in two ways. See, Kiddushin makes her an Eshes Ish, and makes her Usher on everybody else. Kiddashtiyah v'gerashtiyah takes it a step further. She's now divorced and possible to marry a Kohen. In both cases, the Mishnah says, Ne'eman, he's trusted, he's believed. However, in the following two cases, he's not believed. Kiddashtiyah v'gerashtiyah k'shiktana. Sure, I was involved in her Kiddushin and Gerushin way back when she was a ketana, but today she's an adult. Very gedola. In this case, Einoi Ne'eman, he is not believed any longer. Or, Nishbeisu Ftisya. You should know that she was taken into captivity amongst the non-Jews and I redeemed her. So, basically, he's making her apostle from marrying a kain, which is the halacha, regarding an isha, who was in this type of situation. We're concerned about interaction with the guy. So, basically, if we believe him, if we take his word for fact, then she would be puzzled for Kayin. So, Mishnah says he's not believed. Bein shehi ketana, bein shehi gedoyla, whether she's now a ketana or a gedoyla, in a name he's not believed. And the Gemara will ask the obvious question, Maishna Reisha, why in the first set of cases? Do we believe him? Well, Maishna Reisha, Seifa, whereas in the second set of cases, we don't believe him. Answer number one. Reisha b'yadei. You know, in the Reisha, when she's still a ketana, it is b'yadei, within his ability, to go be mekadesha today, and go accept the get for her today. So when it's b'yadei, he's believed. And Rashi says, Malik the Shaka, why would he just tell us stories? He can just do it right now, if he wishes to. So we believe it as fact. Seifa la b'yadei, whereas in the Seifa, when she's a gedola, it's not in his power to be Mekadosher, or certainly the case of Shvuya, it's not in his ability to give her over to the Avid Kechav, so he can't be involved. It's not under his control, and therefore, lacking this aspect of Biyadah, he takes away any form of Ne'amanus, he's not believed. Seifa la Biyadah. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? You're looking for a way. You're looking for a possibility where a father can actually make his daughter usher from marrying a kohen. That's the point, right? It's not biyadei. It is biyadei. He has another very easy option to change her status vis-a-vis a kohen. V'loi, v'arei biyadei la'asiya l'cholo. Right? So we're asking on the case of nishbeis u'pedisiya. That's the focus now. So he claims she was taken into captivity, etc. Mishnah says, even if she's currently still like Tana, he's not believed. And we're assuming because he has no control over those events. He can't make her Asr Lekain. Therefore, he has no Ne'emanus. He can. If she's still like Tana, he can marry her off to a Cholol, a fellow who was born from an inappropriate, kahuna matchup. Rashi says, like Kain Gadol who married an Amana, who's also to him, that child is called a cholol, a lashon of chilul, of chalal, vacuum. He's missing the kahuna. He's missing kedushas kahuna. And the fact is, when an ordinary isha Yisraelis marries a cholol, she becomes pasul from further marrying a kohen later on. So this father, if he chooses, he can take this ketana, marry off to his local cholol down the block, which makes her usher to marry a kohen subsequently. So he can affect that change in her. The answer is, it doesn't affect her status regarding marrying Kohen later on. The answer is, we're going like this, Shita. To Amar, B'nois Yisrael mikvah tahar l'chalolim. Even if a Bas Yisrael marries a chalol, you should know that the children are perfectly fine. The isha is like a mikvah for the zera of the husband, basically the father's chalol status has no effect on his later children, and likewise, it has no effect on her, because that's the package. If it doesn't affect your kids, it doesn't affect your wife. So she remains in her former status. She doesn't become disqualified from kahuna, even if she marries a chalol. Well, here's another option. What if he decides to marry his daughter off to a mamzer? Now Rashi explains, of course, it's usur to do so, but after all, we're working with the assumption that despite its isur, the kedushin is still going to take effect. Kedushin is still teifis. In which case, after having interacted with a mamzer, she becomes usur for marrying a kohen. So he has that ability. It's biyadai. The answer is no. The kedushin would not take effect. Rabbi Akiva, we're going with that. Shita d'omar ein kedushin teifsin. Even b'chayove lav, even though there's only an iser lav, not, you know, kares or misas, but even a simple lav prevents kedushin from taking effect. Well, okay, let's find a different type of iser asay, which will have the same effect on her and is under the father's control to do. Harebi yodel asya almana. Let's say this young daughter is already an almana from a previous marriage. He can go marry her lekoyen gadol. Rabbi Simoy, and we're going with Rabbi Simoy's version of Rabbi Akiva's Shita that takes it a step further. The Sanya Rabbi Moy Aimer, Mina Koil, regarding any type of illegitimate marriage, even an Isra Asay, or Isra Rabbi Akiva Mamzer. Rabbi Akiva would consider the child a Mamzer, which basically means if the child is a Mamzer and the condition doesn't take effect, except for Chutz Mi Almana L'Kohen Gadol, except for one unique case, Almana L'Kohen Gadol. There we say, you know, the child is not a mamzer, in which case the kedushin does take effect, but she becomes usher for marrying a kohen. She becomes disqualified. She becomes pasul. Chutz mamon al kohen gadol. There we make an exception. The kedushin can take effect. Sharei amra Torah. The Torah specifies. Look, you, Mr. Kohen Gadol, don't marry an almana. Lo yikach v'lo yichalol. Don't, you know, make her a chalala. Chalolam oisa vein oisa mamzer. But the Torah is saying v'lo yichalol. It basically limits his reach, his effect. The almana married to a kohen gadol will, at worst, become a chalala, and likewise their children, but not mamzerim. In which case, that's an indication that the kedushin is teifis, because it's sort of a flip side. Mamzer equals no kedushin. If there is no mamzer, there is yes kedushin. So that's what father can do. He can take this almana daughter, young daughter, send her off to the local kohen gadol, in which case the kedushin technically will be chal, making her a chalala, making her a pasul from kahuna. So it's fully biyada. Answer is like this. This mission is following a shita that holds that condition is not going to take effect, even in this case. Rabbi Yisheva, the Amar, who said like this, let's go, you know, call out on Akiva ben Yosef. That's Rabbi Akiva. Look, he's taking it so far, he's stretching the halacha of Mamzer to such an extent. Any type of illegitimate interaction, even almana l'kohen gadol, has a very detrimental effect. Havlad mamzer, child becomes a mamzer. In which case, on the flip side, the condition is not chal. In which case, father has no ability to affect such a marriage. That answers our question. 1 second, says the Gemara. 1 second, hanichal Rabbi Shevav. That's only if Rabbi Shevav is sort of stating his own opinion. All illegitimate marriages are mamzer creators, and kedushin will not be teifes kodeh b'kiva. Hanichal Rabbi Shevav ilatame denafshei. If he's just stating his own opinion, he's sort of making a broad brush statement. According to Rabbi Kiva ben Yosef, all situations lead to this result. Shaper, then you have a good answer. Basically, that precludes any sort of kedushin by any sort of avera. Ela ilafuki mitamod Rabbi Simoy kolasi. But there's another alternate interpretation of Rabbi Shevav's sort of complaint. He was just trying to sort of oppose Rabbi Simoy's assertion that Almana L'Kohen Gadol is sort of Seif, meaning Kedushin can be Teifus, and he was coming to add, no, you should know, according to Rabbi Akiva, even Alman al-Kohen Gadol isn't the same boat, there's no Kedushin, there is Mamzer. He was just trying to undo that notion. But even he agreed that, you know, by Alman al-Kohen Gadol, that's Isser Kahuna, okay, that's terrible, but when it comes to, and has that effect, but let's say you find me another type of marriage, which is, let's say, simply an Isser Asay, not Kahuna related. For instance, marrying a Mitzri, a Doimi, right? So that's a straightforward Mitzvah Asay, don't do that. And, you know, I have no reason to believe that even according to Rabbi Simoy, that marriage can be Chal, that condition can be Teifis, in which case a child is not a Mamzer, in which case, back to our question. Harabi Yadil Asil Chavi Asay, so father, in our Mishnah, can marry off his young daughter to a questionable situation, a chayev yasei, like an Egyptian convert within three generations, or you know, an adoimi in a similar situation, which is usher because of mitzvah asei. It's a lower level prohibition, in which case the condition can be teifis, but that interaction will have some detrimental effect on this aktano, maker asel kahuna. So we see father has that biyada, he has that koyach. Amar Rav Ashi, v'tizbura, reisha, mishum de biyada hu. Let's just go back to square one. Question was, we have two parts of the Mishnah. The reisha, where he claims kidashtia, he's believed. He claims kidashtia v'gerashtia, she's pasal kuna, he's believed. And the sefer, he's not believed because it's not, we said because it's not biyada. Is that really correct? V'tizbura, reisha, mishum de biyada hu. Do you mean to say that the reason why in the reisha he's believed to claim Kidashtia or Kidashtia with Gerashtia is believed because it's in his control to do so? Nihi de biyada lekasha, true. He has the right to be Mekadosh or at will. Biyada lekasha, can he affect her divorce? That's not father's business. He can't make the husband divorce her. So that doesn't fall under biyada. So that can't be the reason for the Mishnah. V'oid, another question. Ilu Amar, hi, de lenicha begavo. Even regarding Kedushin, it's not so simple. Suppose this fellow, you know, you need a fellow to be Mekadosh your daughter. Let's say this fellow says, I'm not interested. Can you force him? He must say Mekadosh Ni'alei Bal Korche? Can the father just push it through against his will? Of course not. So the whole, you know, this whole notion of biyada, he says Rav Ashi, is questionable. El Amar Rav Ashi, he says Rav Ashi, I'll give you a very simple explanation to both parts of the mission. You know the differences between the Reish and the Sefer? It's a pasuk. A straightforward halacha. El Amar Rav Ashi, Reisha, Rachmana, Hemnei Kurav Huna. Damar Hunam Arav, the Torah believes the father. Plain and simple. Krav Hunam Arav, Damar Hunam Arav, Minayin La'av, Shenemon La'esar Esbitim in HaTorah. How do we know that a father has the ability to declare Isra on his daughter upon claiming that she was married by him? Shenemon Esbitim Osati, Lish Hazeh. Father gets up and says, look, my daughter, I married her off. Now, when he says Le'ish, without adding specifics or identifying the husband, Asra. So basically, he's making her Asra on anybody, since her husband's identity is as yet unknown. And when he added the word Hazeh, identifying this man as the husband, Hazeh Hitira. So basically, he's taking off 99% of the Isser. I'm sorry, he's taking off 1% of the Isser. She can stay with this man, but with nobody else. So bottom line, it's clear from the Pasuk that the Torah empowers father to declare his daughter as a married woman, plain and simple. It's an emonis. And likewise, says the Ritva, if within a short period, Teich Kedei Dibur, it's in the same breath, so to speak, he says, I married her off, and I also divorced her. I accepted get for her. That's called Pesha Asa Pesha Heter. The same mouth that made Isra made it Heter. Either you believe the whole package, or you believe nothing. So it's a Svara. Either you believe him all or nothing. So that explains the first two parts of the Mishnah. Hidashtiya is Neman, Pasuk. He adds Gerashtiya within, you know, the same sentence. He's believed entirely that, in fact, both events took place. But, regarding the second part of the Mishnah, she was taken into captivity. We don't find anywhere in the Torah that a father can claim as such and affect her kuhuna status. But Nisuin, Hemnei Rachmana, regarding marriage, yep, Torah gives him Ne'amonos. lav. B'shvuya lahem, when it comes to shvuya, he's not believed. So Rav Ashi provides a very simple, straightforward teres to the Mishnah. We have two parts to the Mishnah. Part number one, we have a ketana today, whose father is claiming she was niskadish, or niskadish v'nisgarish. He's neman. Pasuk. But if she's already gdoila, he's not neman. Pasuk speaking about a ketana. Or he claims, even by a ketana, she was nishbeis, he's not believed. Says the Mishnah. Misha amar b'shas misasa yesh li banim. Say we proceed to a similar situation where a fellow is declaring facts. In some cases he's believed, in some cases not. And this is specific to the Yivam concern. Right? He's concerned that if he passes on without kids, his wife will have to go and marry his brother in fulfillment of mitzvah Yivam. So he says, look, I have children. You should know I have, perhaps from another wife. Right? He tells his wife, don't worry about Yivam. You're not going to have Yivam. Mishama b'shas misasa yesh li banim neman, he's believed. And there is no Yivam or Chalitza. Yesh li acham einu neman. But if he was presumed to have no brothers, which basically preempts mitzvah Yivam, now he claims otherwise, I have brothers somewhere, we don't believe him. So basically it would seem, Alma, says the Gemara, it would seem from the Mishnah, that he's only believed to make things easier for her, not more difficult. Alma neman lahatir, vein neman la'esar. He's neman when he says, he has kids, which basically exempts her from Yivam. But not when he says, I'm introducing some new brothers to the scene. He's not neman because that's going to make her usur and liable to Yivam. Neman mas nisan look Rabbi Nassan. Perhaps our Mishnah is not in line with Rabbi Nassan Shita, who tells us that he's neman even when it comes to Isur, the Sanya. Here we have a different, slightly different case. He changed his story in the middle. So when he married her, B'shas Kedushin, he says, don't worry. There will be no Yivam down the road. No concern. Amar Yishli Banim. He claims to have children. But then, Vishas Misa, upon his death, he changed his story. Amar, he says, no, sorry, Ainli Banim. He denied the fact that he has kids. Or, same thing regarding brothers, right? The two factors at play. Yes, brothers, no brothers. Yes, children, no children. Bishas Kedushin, when he married her, Amar, he told her, Ein loy bonim, ein loy acham. He claimed he had no brothers, don't worry about Yivam. Bishas Misa, Amar yesh le acham. But during Misa, he says, he has brothers, and she needs to do Yivam. What does Rebbe hold? In both cases, he's not believed to make it difficult for her. Neman lahater, ve'enemen la'esar. So basically, we believe what he said way back when he married her. If it was, I have kids, no Yivam, or I have no brothers, no Yivam. He's believed on that. But not on today's account. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Nassan Omer, no. Afnem and Lesser. We have to believe, even though he changed his story. Bishas Misa. And we have to deem her as an Isha, Yivama, who cannot marry out until she addresses the Yivam situation. And this is seemingly inconsistent with our Mishnah. That we don't believe when he says Isra. Amar Rava. So Rava says, well, there's a very fundamental difference between our Mishnah and this Braisa. Shani Hasam. And the Braisa is very different. Because he changed his story when he was passing away. And that gives sort of credibility to his current statement. Shani Hasam, kivid mishas misa kadar bay, ema kushta kamar. Since he's changing his story, mishas misa. The assumption is that he's being honest now. Rashi says he doesn't want, leave the world, with this honest record. So, it's probable that what he's saying now is true and correct. Kivin the Mishas Misa, Kadar Bey, Ema Kushta Kama, we assume what he's saying now is accurate. Amalei Abaye. It's Abaye's response. If anything, the opposite. V'lav kol d'cheinu, if anything, you have reason to go the other way. Kol shkein, look. Ha'ashta umah hosam d'kamara leila d'buri. Amr's kushta ka'amar. In the Braisa, where he's basically, he's opposing, he's undoing his earlier statement, which he made when he married her, right? Still we say, Amr's kushta ka'amar, you're assuming that his current declaration, today's statement, is accurate. Certainly the Mishnah, where there was no change of story, it was a one-time declaration, one-time promise to her. Masisin delay mora le diburi. He's not negating any former statements. Like Koshkin doesn't lend to reason that we believe what he says as true and accurate? Elan Rabbi Sabai says like this. Let me propose a pshat to reconcile the Mishnah and the Brice. Two different scenarios. It's all a question of what was the preconceived notion before he got up and made this statement. Mas Nisan and Al Mishnah were speaking to Loy Muchzaklan Ba'achi V'Loy Muchzaklan Bibni. We don't know that B'shas, this person is dying. We don't know anything about any brothers. We assume he has no brothers, which basically means no Yivam. We assume that he also has no children. We don't know of any children that he has. So if you combine both factors, no children and no brothers, so it's sort of they equalize each other, and there's no Yivam, right? So there we say, Kivin Loy Musaklan Bibnei V'Loy Be'achi, since he's not known to have brothers or children. So when he gets up and he says, Omar Yeshli Banim, I have sons, which basically doesn't change your status. Because, look, you see, yes, sons equals no Yivam. And she was assumed to be a non-Yivama due to the fact that there were no sons and no brothers. So he's not looking to change her status. Namas, he's believed. He's pretty much just maintaining her status. And here comes Rashi's chiddush, isn't it this? And once she's established, once his declaration has been accepted as true, because he wasn't really looking to change her status, right? Because look, starting point was no even for this woman. True, there was no banim known, but no brothers either. So she's in a non-Yivam situation. Now he comes forth and says, I happen to have children. Right? So again, all he's doing is maintaining her status. So now even if a brother comes along and says, look, by the way, I'm the brother of that fellow, and I need to do Yivam, we leave it status quo because we've already established. He's going to come and say, look, you thought there were no brothers? I'm the brother. Yes, Yivam. No. We leave it alone because we've already established that she has children as a result of the father's declaration, which was taken as fact because of the svara that we said, because he wasn't looking to change any status. So it's sort of a chain reaction. Her status was no Yivam. And even though he added and came and told us about children, it's still maintaining that status. So now, even if another brother shows up and sort of looks to change her status, look, you thought there were no brothers? I'm the brother. Too bad, because the husband had already convinced us that he has children. So no children with no brothers equals yes brother, yes children. So basically, she's still free. So that's the first case in the Mishnah. Yeshli banim is neman, because he's maintaining her non-Yibum status. But if he says Yeshli achim, and we had assumed that she has no brother, that he had no brothers, and no Yibum in the works, right? And he gets up and says, no, I have brothers. Ein neman, he's not believed, because he has no koyach to change her status, to oppose the chazaka of a non-Yibum situation. Lav kol kamina da asa la kuli alma. You can't just go make her usher on everybody. So that perfectly explains the Mishnah. There was a chazaka, no brothers, no children, which means no Yivam. So it depends what he's saying today, B'shas Misa. Yeshli banim is neman, because he's maintaining that chazaka. But if he's introducing new brothers, Yeshli achim, which changes her status, makes her a Yivama, he's not believed. So that's the Mishnah. Maintain status, fine. Change status, no. Brisa, whereas the Brisa, which features a machlekes between Rabbi and Rabbi Nosson, is speaking about a slightly different case. The starting point was different. The starting point was, yes, she's going to be a Yavama if this fellow passes away without children. The Muchzaklon Ba'achi, The assumption was, there was no Edom, Rashi said, but it was just a Chazakah. We heard about, this was our picture, this profile. He has brothers, which make for a Yibum situation, and he has no sons, which is a perfect Yibum formula, right? So that was the Chazakah going into this marriage. Now, there were two parts to his input, the husband's input. Bishas Kiddushin, he claimed that, by the way, you know, you're not going to have Yibum if I pass away. He said, I have Yesh Leibanim, right? So he's changing our perception about his profile. Damrinus, in this case, we say, we believe him. Because what's he trying to do? He's trying to comfort her. He's trying to assure her that even when I pass on, there won't be Yibum. You know, if he's really misstating the truth about the existence of his children, he could have just come up with a very simple solution to preempt any further Yivam. Mali Lushaka, why would he lie that he has sons? Maikamar, what's he trying to accomplish? Lemifter Rabbi Yavam? He's trying to exempt her. Spear her from the Yavam? Well, look, Matsi Yamala, all he can do now, all he needs to do now is say, you know, I'll arrange a get for you, which will be applied in case I'll give it to you right before I pass away. So this way you're a grusha, and there will be no yivam regardless. So that's a strong svara. It's called a migu. Mali l'shaki, why would he lie? And, you know, we see in the whole sugi that even though typically dovar shebe'erver, any marriage-related testimonies requires, you know, typically two edim, but here he's speaking about his situation. I have children, and, you know, ultimately, it's going to affect her status later on, but it's not a direct testimony on her status. So he's believed on that. We take it as fact. He has children, and therefore, ultimately, when he dies, there's no Yivam. Okay, so all agree that at this point, we believe him. The question is what happens later. When, upon his death, he changes his story. And he reneges on that, declaration. You know, now he's saying, I have no bottom, sorry, I misled you. So now we have a difference of opinion between Rebbe, who takes on his new fact as true. We go back to the earlier status and we assume that there were no sons and she's going to go to Yivam. Why? Rebbe Savar Mali Lushaki Ge'edim Dom. Rebbe will hold that actually we trust him. Rebbe Savar Mali L'Shakir Ke'edim Dami. You see, initially when he told her at the point of Kedushin that I have Banim, that Mali L'Shakir has the power like Edim. Basically what it means to say is we accept it as fact. Because he has full Ne'amonos. Like we explained, otherwise he could just give her a gift. We accept it as fact. And that undoes that prior notion. Let's assume that she was going to be slated for Yivam, that there were no sons. No, we believe him that there are, that he has children. So that undoes, that obliterates the prior Chazakah. It changes her status. She is not a potential Yivam, because this fellow claims to have children. V'osu Edom, v'akri Chazakah. And this declaration, which is tantamount to Edom, meaning we accept it as fact, undoes that previous notion. She is now not slated for Yivam. Okay? So now, when Bishas Misasai, upon his passing, he changes the story. Oh no, sorry, I don't have any kids. Too late. Too late. It's been established that he has kids, that she's not going to be a Yavama. Rabbi Nosson Savar, you know, Mali L'Shakar, this Svara, Mali L'Shakar, why would I have to lie? And basically, that Ne'amonos that we give him, when he declared at the point of Kedushin that he has Banim, true, we believe him, but in limited fashion. It's not like, you know, it doesn't have the same status and Ne'amonos like Edom. Ki Chazaka Dami. It's like a Chazaka, basically. You know, it gives us strong reason to believe that, you know, her status has changed and she's not going to be Yavama. But it's not etched in stone. So, had he just remained silent and not change the story later, we just assume that it's true, and, you know, why would a person just lie for something that has no gain? Okay, but once he comes back later and changes the story, that chazaka, that declaration during Kiddushin, at most has a din of chazaka, not like Edom, has a lower level of nemanus, and doesn't really undo completely her former status, which was presumed to be potential Yevama. So it challenges it, it questions it, but doesn't completely obliterate it, doesn't erase it off the record. We still have some sort of remnant of suspicion that she was really going to be a Yevama. So now, when he confirms it, when he changes the story, Bishas Misa, he says, yo, by the way, I was just totally lying. I have no banim. So that restores her to her original chazaka, to her original status, which preceded this marriage. It was assumed that she's going to be a Yevama. And now she's a Yevama. Okay, bottom line, we have a Mishnah and a Braisa. The way Abai explained it, in the Mishnah there was a chazaka of no Yivam. And since he's merely coming to maintain that, he's Neman. But he's trying to change that, he's not Neman. In the Braisa, which is not Bishas Misasai, so now he's healthy and strong, he can give her a get. The Mishnah can't give her a get, doesn't have that ability, but here he can give her a get. So now, even though there was a chazaka that she's going to be Yevama, he can change that chazaka by saying, look, believe me that she's not going to be Yevama, believe me that I have children, otherwise I can just give her a get, you know, prepare a get, which I will give later on, and that will preempt any Yevam. So that's Ne'amonos. The question is how far it goes, and does it preempt any further change of story? That's Machlokes, Rabbi and Rabbi Nos. Okay, continues the next Mishnah. Mekadesh es bitei stam. A fellow walks over to a man. He says, look, I have many daughters, and I'll be mekadesh one of my daughters to you. Sure, mazel tov. But he didn't identify, he didn't name her by name. We don't know which one it is. And he has young ones, he has old ones. Ein habogres bichlal. The older ones are not included. The ones that are, you know, super adults, past 12 and a half. And the reason is because they're not b'shusay. As she says, Eina b'rishus ha'avlekacha. Father can be mekadesh young daughters, even without being asked by that daughter. But Igdoila, she's not under his jurisdiction regarding Kiddushin. We assume it's not included in the deal. No worries there. What if he has two sets of daughters from two wives? So he married Rachel, had a set of daughters. Let's say three daughters from Rachel. She passed on. He married Leah. And he has another set of daughters. So Rachel's daughters are the older ones, and Leah's daughters are the younger ones. I should really go the other way. He married Leah first, and had a set of kids, and then he married Rachel. The younger set came from Rachel, the older from Leah. Mishayesh like shtei kitei banis, mishtei nashim, has two sets of daughters from two wives. V'amar, he says like this, I'm all confused. Kidash tespiti agdeu. You know, I remember that I was mekadesh my biti gdoila, an older daughter, but now I forget which one. Ve'ini yadei, I'm not sure. Im gdoila shebek gdoilas, is she the oldest of the older bunch? O gdoila shebek tanis, or the oldest of the younger bunch? O gdoila shebek gdoilas, or the youngest of the older bunch? Why would I even call her gdoila? Because relative to the younger bunch, she's the oldest. She gdoila, because she's older min gdoila shebek tanis than the oldest of the younger set. This fellow's all confused. Kula nasurois, chutz, minaktana shebaktanis. Divrei Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, there's a major suffix. All his daughters are presumed to be suffix mekudashis, except for the youngest of the young, which certainly is not considered gdela, and certainly was not included in this deal. Rabbi Yaisi, Eimer, no. A person will not allow himself, will not submit himself to all kinds of uncertainties. And when he said gdela, most probably he meant the one that's clearly a gdela, lest it create confusion and mix-up, and therefore, rest assured, everybody's okay, except for the oldest of the oldest bunch, who is, you know, clearly the Gdoila, and only she's Mekudeshes. Now, in similar fashion, he claims to have been Mekadesh's younger daughter. Now, younger daughter, young can mean anything. I'm not sure which one it was. Was she the youngest of the youngest group? Ektanah Shebekdelus, or the youngest of the older group, Ekdelus Shebektanah, or the oldest of the younger, Shiktanah Menakanah Shebekdelus, who's younger than the youngest of the oldest. Kulan Asurais, everybody's included in the Isra, Chutzman Ekdelus Shebekdelus, except for the oldest of the old, which is certainly not called Ektanah. Why would he call her Ektanah? The Rebbe Yisiyahimir. We limit the Isra, Kulan Metarais, Chutzman Ekdelus Shebekdelus, except for the youngest of the young, everybody's Mutter. Okay, let's focus on the first part of the Mishnah first. Who's Mekadosh as Bitoy without naming her? He has Ketanos, he has Gdolos. We say, well, the oldest ones, the Boigros, the adults, are not included. Because, as we explained, they're not in his Rishus to be Mekadosh. But, Ha Ketanos Bechlal. But assuming he has a few younger daughters, they're all included, and basically, there's a suffix on all of them, and they only need to get, despite the fact that this is called Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Labia. There's no option of moving ahead and marrying these Ketanis because, you know, you can never take anyone because maybe she's a sister of my real wife, the other one. And still we say the Kiddushin is Chal, which necessitates a get. Shamas Mino V'Chayr, we can see from here, Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Labia. I have a Kiddushin. Even a Kiddushin could not lead to phase two, to interaction as married. There's no Nesun option. It's still a valid Kiddushin, which necessitates a get. That's a big question. We had a machlekes by a Rava back on Daf Nun Aleph, and we paskened like Abaye. In any case, this is going to be a raya to that shita. No, Hach my skinner was speaking that he doesn't have multiple daughters. Because she'ein sham ela gdoila ketana. He has one gdoila and one ketana. He's mekadosh stam. He doesn't know. We say the old one is not included, and the ketana is. There's only one choice. There are no two sisters that are vying for this kedushin. Gedolah is out, and all you have left is one ketana, and therefore it's kedushin shemesurin labia. What do you mean? The Mishnah relates to it plurally. Va'baygrois ketani, right? Which sounds like there are many baygrois and ketanis. No, my baygrois bergus da alma. It's just a way of mode of speech. You know, this type of situation found anywhere would create this halacha. But of course, we're speaking that he only has one Boigeris and one Ketana. Well, if that's the case, Peshita, Boigeris, my Avedetayu. If that's the case, then it's a very simple, obvious case. He has one Ketana, one Gedela. Here's Mekadosh Stam. We say, well, the only option is the Ketana. Obviously, Boigeris, my Avedetayu. Why would you assume that the Boigeris is included? He doesn't have a Rishus to be Mekadosh Gedela. So, why would the Mishnah come to teach us such a simple halacha? No, Hacham my skin was speaking to Shavisei Shliach. The Gdela made him a Shliach. Says, Papa, be Mekadosh me. So he was authorized. He had a choice. He can be Mekadosh the Ketana, for which he doesn't need an appointment, or he can be Mekadosh the Gdela, for which he was empowered and authorized. So Chizur, the mission is, Mal Detema, perhaps I would say, Ki Mekabel Kedushi, Adai Tedoka Mekabel. That since he was asked by his older daughter to take care of her Kedushin, so in fact, when he approached his husband and was Mekabel Kedushin, it was for her sake. Kamash Mon the Chiddush says, no. Comes the Mishnah and says, Lo Yishavik Inish. A person would not forego an opportunity. Midi the Isle Hano Mene to accept Kedushin of his young daughter, which gives him benefit, because he keeps the money. Right? When he's Mekadosh Kedushin, for his young daughter, he keeps that money. It's part of his Zechus. So he wouldn't forego that opportunity. Va'avad Midi the Lesle Hano Mene and choose to be Mekadosh's older daughter, for which he gets no benefit. He has no. He doesn't keep the Kedushin. So that's the point of the Mishnah. Well, who says he's not going to keep it? Bilnei Askin, who says we're not speaking? The Amrlei with the older daughter asked him to A, Mekadosh her, and B, keep the Kedushin. Keep it for the effort. Kedusha Ilach. So who says that it provides no benefit? And why would he prefer the younger one? Afik Luach still says the Mishnah. There is a reason why he would. Lo Yishavek Inish. Mitzvah. The Rami Alei, a person would not forego the opportunity to attend to a mitzvah, which is his primary obligation, which is marrying off his young daughter who can't do it on her own. He feels responsible. He feels that it's a personal mitzvah. He would do that first. That's first priority, rather than doing va'avid mitzvah to Rami Alei and do a mitzvah for his older daughter, which isn't really his primary obligation because she has her own das. If she wants, she can kaddish herself. So, the assumption is, if there was a choice between older and younger, it probably was Mekadosh the younger, as per the Mishnah. Now we proceed to the case of the two groups of daughters. Mishesh lekit shtekitei bonos, And the Mishnah cites two examples of an identical case. He claimed Mekadosh Degdoila, Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Ramir. He claimed to have been Mekadosh Degtana, same type of Machlokes. Utsricha, so why discuss both scenarios? Says the Gemara, there is something to be learned from each. Di Ashminun Kamaisa. Had we only discussed the first case of the Gdoilis, I would think, well, Bahach, Kamer of Meir. Perhaps it's specifically over here that Meir says that, you know, you never know who's the Gdoila. Could be anybody from the top all the way to the very bottom, except for the last one on bottom. You know why? The Kivan the Ikazuchu Mina. Because the term Gdoila is a proud term. My older daughter, oh, my big girl. So since there's somebody below her, younger than her, Lahach Gdoila Karila, it's very probable that he called her the older one. Even though she's like, you know, ninth on the list. Doesn't matter because she's older than the tenth one. So it's all relative. So it makes sense that a mayor would consider them all part of the suffix. Aval Baha, but in the second case, where he was Mekadosh Ektana, that's not necessarily the most, you know, complimentary term. Oh, my little one, right? But perhaps all would agree to Rabbi Yossi the Ketana, that when he uses the word Ketana, he means the youngest of the young. L'hach Ketana the Kulu, Karila. He only calls her Ketana if she's the youngest of the whole crew. In which case, there's no suffix except for the youngest one. So that's why we have to mention the second case as well. You should know, even here, a mayor says, you never know. Maybe the word Ketana is, again, relative. And, you know, it can apply to anybody on the list except for the oldest of the old. And the same in reverse. V'yitmar b'ha. If we only discuss case number two of the Ketanis, b'ha, kamar b'yesi, yeah, there b'yesi says, you got to worry about everybody. Aval b'hach. Sorry. Over b'yesi says, don't worry. Except for the youngest of the young, because probably that's what he meant when he said the young one. Aval b'hach, but in the first case, where he used the Lashon G'dayla, which is perhaps an expression of pride. Oh, my big girl. And perhaps there, everybody would agree to Rav Meir. You never know who he meant. Eima Moidi Leil Rav Meir. Perhaps even Rav Yossi would agree to Rav Meir. Tzricha, that's why we mentioned both cases. The same difference of opinion applies in both situations. And what's the Machlekes based on? L'meimer, shall we say. The Rabbi Meir Savar, or Meir holds, you know, a person uses ambiguous expressions, hoping and praying that he'll remember what he had in mind. Which, of course, he didn't this time. And therefore, you never know what he meant. When he said, you know, he could have meant this, could have meant that. And he would submit himself to a situation of uncertainty, basically relying on his brains that he'll remember. Like, Doyla meant, you know, the third one on the list. So basically, it could be anybody. All options are open, and therefore, the suffix applies to everybody. Remember the Rameir Savar Machis Inish Nafshil Sveik. A person would submit himself to a confusing situation, relying on his ability to remember. Rabbi Yossi Savar, no, a person doesn't have that, you know, overconfidence. When he speaks clearly, lest he forget what he had in mind. Lemachis Inish. A person would not submit himself to a confusing situation, in which case, when he said Doyla, rest assured, he was speaking unambiguously. Doyla means something that I cannot create confusion. Doyla means the oldest of the old. And when he says Tani means the youngest of the young, lest it create any confusion. Is that the Machlokes? According to Rameir, a person submits himself to situations of suffix. According to Rabbi Yossi, not. But if we have a Mishnah in a Durham, which seems to set up the Shitas in the reverse. This none. Hanoidir Adha Pesach. A fellow gets up and says, you know, I'm not going to have, you know, wine or whatever. Makes a nether against a certain item, and the nether will last until Pesach. Ad HaPesach. Also, Ad Sheyagia. He must refrain until the arrival of Pesach, but not including Pesach, until Pesach. When Pesach arrives, the Isra is off. Ad Sheyehei Pesach. Until Pesach will be here, until I experience Pesach. Yehei is a totally different expression. Also, Ad Sheyetzei. The Isra remains until Pesach is through. What about Ad Pnei Pesach? That's a little bit of a, you know, in-between Lashon. Ad Pnei. Pnei can mean until the face, until the Pesach arrives, until Pesach comes. Pnei can also mean, you know, every day is like the Pnei for the day behind it. So until I experience the entire Pesach, until we're through the entire Pesach, the nether is there. So we're not sure. Rav Meir Omer, Atzer Atzer Yagia. Asur Atzer Yagia. It only lasts until Pesach, and that's it. A person will not allude to something which is confusing. And since Pnei can mean until or including, it's an unknown. Therefore, we assume he was being clear-cut, and he meant until the Pesach, and not through the Pesach. Rav Yisrael Omer, Atzer Yetze, until the entire Pesach is experienced. Because, you know, you never know what he had in mind. And it's very likely that he meant, Pnei means the entire Pesach. So bottom line, here we see that Rav Meir avoids Suffolk, and Rav Yisrael says, you never know maybe what he meant, even though it's a confusing expression, maybe he meant it. Which is just the opposite, exactly the reverse of our sugya. Amar Rav Chanina bar Avdimi, Amar Ravi, right, let's flip around the names, Mechlefes Ashita, let's switch the names around in that Mishnah in the Durham, which will line them up to our Mishnah in Kiddushin, Vatanya. In fact, we have a Braisa which supports this name switch, Zaklal. This is the formula going with Nedarim, Kosher Zman Kavua, if he relates to an event which is, you know, set in time, like a Yom Tov of Pesach, V'omar at Pnei, and he says, until the Pnei, Rabbi Yom Achiyete, until the whole Pesach is through, because even though there's an element of uncertainty in terms of what he meant, we assume it's included. Rabbi Yisrael, Atzer Yagia, until the Yom Tov arrives, not past. Because a person will not submit himself to confusion, and we just take what's clear-cut until the Yom Tov, and that's it. Which perfectly lines up with our sugya. Amar Abai, one more thing to know. Machlek is b'shtei kitei bonis. You know, let's just focus, in the meantime, on one of these cases. G'doyla. I was mekadesh my G'doyla. I'm not sure. The real older one, the middle older one, relative older one, right? That's Rav Meir. Rav Yisrael says, not to worry. It's only pertaining to one, the real oldest. Machlokes b'shtei kitei bonis. It's only when he has two groups of daughters. Aval b'kat achas, divra koil g'doyla mamish, katana mamish. Emtzois b'shma korilo. When do we say that practically everybody can theoretically have been labeled as the G'doyla? That's when we have two groups. So, you know, everybody, all members of the older group, of the older bunch of daughters, perhaps were called G'doyla, every one of them. Even the youngest of the oldest bunch, because she's older relative to the younger bunch. Aval b'kas achas. Let's say this fellow would only have one set of kids. One wife, one set of kids. Three daughters, oldest, youngest, and middle one. Let's call them 1, 2, and 3. One is the oldest, 2 is the middle one, 3 is the youngest. Says Abaye, Aval b'kas achas, Dibra kol, all will agree, there's no machlekes, that when he says the word daily means mamish, means number one, the oldest one. Ketana, when he says ketana, means mamish, literally the youngest one. Number three, emtzois. Because if he has any reason to relate to the middle one, he would call her by name. Mishmal kari, they would say, Asti. Doesn't call her G'doyla or Ketana. Why would he? Number one is the G'doyla. Number three is the Ketana. She's her name. It's only when he has two groups of daughters. Then we say, look, any member of the older group can theoretically be related to as a G'doyla because she's older relative to the younger bunch. But if there's only one group of kids, this rationale doesn't apply. That's Abaye's Chiddush. Amar Rav Ada bar Masna Abaye. One second. Elami Atav, that's the case. We'll take on your line of reasoning. Avakash. And Tzoyis, the middle member. Shabakas. Shniyot Ishtari. Fine. We have two groups. The entire older group can perhaps have been called Doyla because, like we said, it's relative to the younger group. But what about the younger group? Let's assume there are, let's say, three members there, right? So the oldest of that younger group, let's call it number one, is perhaps a Gedolah because it's the oldest of the bunch. But according to your Chiddush, why is the middle member of that younger group included in the Suffolk? Why would I call her a Gedolah? Relative to whom? You're telling me within the same group, there's no relativity, right? So the middle member of the younger group, in any case, should be mutter, when the Mishnah seems to say otherwise. There's a suffix gdela regarding everybody except for the youngest of the young, but everybody otherwise is a possibility of gdela. You're right. My skin and Mishnah speaking, there is no middle member to their younger group. The young group only has two members, older and younger. Because you're right, if there would be a middle member, that middle member would not be a suffix gdela. And in fact, the wording of the Mishnah would indicate as such that group number two, the younger group, has no middle member. Because if there was a middle member there, list nine, the Mishnah would mention it. When the father articulated all his confusion, I'm not sure if it's the oldest of the oldest, if the oldest of the young, he would say, I'm also not sure if it's the middle one of the youngest group, which will bring out a chiddush that even on her we have a suffix. The fact that he deleted that, possibility, he didn't bring up that option. Apparently she doesn't exist. Says the Gemara, one sec. The fact that the Mishnah deletes it indicates non-existence. Well, Tamech, according to your contention, Emtsois Shebekas Rishayna. The Mishnah makes no mention of the middle member of the older group either. It says, I'm not sure if she's the oldest of the oldest, the youngest of the... It doesn't say anything about the middle member of the older group. So apparently we're not going through every little option here. He doesn't have to, go through all the names. It gives a general presentation, but it's assumed that he means everybody who's included in the uncertainty. Well, Tamech, according to you, Emtsois Shebekas Rishayna. Devadei Sveke, Vasirle, Miktoni. The middle member of the older group, who, even according to Abaye, is included in the suffix because relative to the young group, she can be considered a gdela. She's certainly Asr. And the Mishnah makes no mention of her, Miktani Lo. So apparently, non-mention does not indicate non-existence. Hachiyashta, you can't compare the 2 points. Omission of mentioning the middle member of the older group doesn't raise any flags. Hasam tanak tana de dali sura, because once he relates to the youngest member of that older group, li isura, that she's asur, because relative to the young group she's a gdela, then it's pretty obvious that somebody above her in the ranks, the middle member of the older group, who's older than the younger member of that older group, vua din lahachta kshushim minah, of course the one older from her, is certainly included in the isur. Right, the Mishnah mentions that there's a possibility that the gdola is perhaps the top of the first group, the bottom of the first group, who is relatively older than the second group. And of course, it's pretty obvious that anybody above her in the ranks, i.e. the middle member of that older group, is of course included in this discussion. So there's no need to mention every single girl. Hacha. But regarding the middle member of the younger group, which was the point of Kasha and Abayi, Hachem Isa, the Ikav, she would exist. That's a chiddush, Nisnai, the Mishnah should point it out. Because, according to Abayi, she would not be included in the Isra of Gdela. Right? The Emtsois would not be included if she's of the younger bunch. So if she exists, the Mishnah should mention it. So this proves Abaye's point. Of course she exists. And we don't mention her because she's not included in the Isser. This is in line with Abaye that relativity is only between groups. But the middle member of the younger group is not called a Gdela on all accounts because he wouldn't call her a Gdela. The oldest of the group, you would say Gdela. The youngest, Ktana. The middle one, he would call her by name. You don't say relativity within the same group. Amli Rav Huna. Breder Rav Shul Rava. I have a kasha. On Abai. HaPesach. Let's go back to that neder with Pesach, right? He said Pnei Pesach. Now, Pesach is one grouping of days. It's like one group of girls. Like one set of bonais. And still we have the same achlekes in terms of how to relate to his lashon. The chikas achas, dummy, it's like one set. Upligan, there's a machlekes, a straight out machlekes. between Rebbe, who says, well, you know, Pnei, Al Pnei Pesach. Maybe it's Pnei because, not because Pnei is the face, the arrival. Pnei means the first day of Pesach is the face of the second day. Second day precedes the third day. So we see that there is a concept of relativity within the same group. That's a kashan abai. Amalisi responded, no, it's a totally different context. There it's a question of semantics. Hansam balishan of alma plikamifik. Machak says, you know how people speak. Ma'ar savar pnei pesach. Rabbi Yossi says, when you say pnei pesach, I mean the arrival of pesach. At kame pesach. Until pesach comes, and that's it. Ma'ar savar demifni pesach. Rabbi Meir says, at pnei means until the pesach is pamei, leaves. Until we experience pesach. Until pesach is through. And therefore, the nether lasts until the end of Pesach. That's a totally different discussion, which is not related to Abaye's Chiddush. Okay, so to summarize, we have one Mishnah, another, and then another. In the first Mishnah, fathers believed, Kiddashti spitik tana, or Kiddashti v'ger ashtiyo, according to Rav. Ashi's pshat, it's based on a pasuk, which gives them nemanus, only regarding these things, not regarding other things. Next Mishnah discussed, a husband declaring his wife either liable to Yibum or not liable to Yibum, according to Abaye's approach, as long as not changing any statuses, he's believed. We had a Braisa, where he's believed because he has Mali Lishakar, because he can give her a get to change her status and make her Pata from Yibum. The question is, how solidified is that statement? How etched in her record does it become? Can it be undone or not? That's Machlekes Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson. The next Mishnah, with two parts, in part number one, his Makadosh Bita Yistam, we assume it's the Ketana, not the Begeres, despite the fact that he was having enough from the money because it's his priority to Makadosh the Ketana, who has no Das. In the next situation, we had two groups of daughters, Kedoyles and Ketanois. He was Makadosh Egdoyle, is not sure, or Makadosh Ketana is not sure. Kodjer Meir, we have confusion reigning. Kodjer Biesi, Loi Maches, Inish, Nafshel, Sveik, a person who will not submit to confusion. When he said Doyle, means the oldest of the old. And likewise, when he says Ketana, the Ketana Sheba Ketanois, rest assured, the other ones are spared any hardship. But Abaye is Yisoid that relativity is only between two groups. Within the same group, there is no concept of relativity, and we proved it from the Lashon of the Mishnah. Hatzlacha Rabbah to you, all the best to you, and Besuras Tayyip.